Good evening. I'm Stella Olson, survivor of Barrow. Last year, when the sun set for 30 days, our town came under siege by a clan of vampires. I've rigged the ceiling with ultraviolet lights. If there are any of you out there, I suggest you stand and show yourselves.
I'm a vampire.
Hit the lights.
Stella thought she was the only survivor, but she's about to discover there are others, and they're seeking revenge.
We know what it's like waking up in the night, your heart pounding.
Which is why we've been out there hunting them.
And we could use a fourth.
Coming to you from the most horrible, most miserable place on earth.
Cocktail!
This is the Out of the Coffin Podcast.
This is your host, Dan Charette, writer, geek, vampire aficionado. This is the podcast by vampire fans for vampire fans. On this podcast, we discuss topics that you may decide are not kid-friendly, so listener discretion is advised. Also, as we discuss TV shows and movies, we will probably have spoilers along the way. Before we get started, I would like to remind everyone, if you would like to drop us a line, you can do that at outofthecoffin.com/contact, or you can leave us voicemail at 206-350-7638.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
This is episode 67 of the Out of the Coffin podcast.
Yay!
Welcome to 2011.
Dun, dun, dun.
We might get out some podcasts this year.
Yes, yes. And our new format and everything.
Yes, which is we're going to try to...
Shorter.
We're going to try to pretend to stick to a format.
Shorter.
Yes, shorter. The goal is shorter podcasts.
My job is to keep Dan from rambling.
And mine is to keep you from rambling. So, since we're rambling...
Rambling!
Let's get to the news!
See, shorter.
Didn't say it.
Shorter.
Yeah, shorter.
Let's go.
Okay, first order of news. I have heard that the Blu-ray and DVD for Let Me In,
yay,
the Matt Reeves remake of Let the Right One In,
mm-hmm,
hit stores February 1st.
Yay!
Yay, so not much longer for us to wait. Yeah, so that should be awesome. It's definitely going on our shelves, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right next to Let the Right One In.
Oh, absolutely. You need to have the two. It's like peanut butter and jelly.
Or more like creamy peanut butter and crunchy peanut butter.
I was going to say Kate Moss and shoes.
References I don't understand. What are shoes skinny as Kate Moss?
I don't know. She likes shoes. Girls like shoes. So okay. Just go. Shut up. Go on it.
Rambling.
Rambling alert.
Mumbler.
When I catch you rambling. When I catch you rambling, we go whoop, whoop, whoop.
Okay. And I probably won't cut that out. Okay.
I'm moving.
Moving on.
Woo.
Books. Gail Carriger's Heartless.
Hi, Gail!
The fourth book in her excellent More Than a Trilogy series is up on Amazon right now for pre-order without a cover picture because they're still finalizing that.
Ooh.
But Gail says it looks awesome, so we'll hopefully see it soon. It hits shelves June 28th, so that will be out...
June?
Yes, we have to wait until the summer.
Which
presumably means she's not going to have two books out this year, but you never know. She just might.
Hoo-ah.
But it is up
she's
for...
She's like book ninja.
She is like book ninja.
Nee-wah.
With T.
Right. Yes. It's awesome.
And so anyway, so it's up for pre-order now. I've got a link to that right now, but I've got two words.
Hi, Gail.
No, not
no.
Hi, Gail.
No.
And you've already said hi, Gail.
I know, but no,
so
I know.
That's four.
No.
Two words. Zombie porcupines. It's in the blurb, so it just caught my eye.
Beg your pardon?
Zombie porcupines. I just have to buy the book now to find out how she uses these zombie porcupines. And do they fire quills at you for brains? So hopefully we'll have more information from Gail about that soon. Next up in books.
Gail, you gotta tell us what this is. Okay.
Yes, right. Gotta tell us. We'll have her back on just so she can tell us about the zombie porcupines.
I'm desperately curious to find out now.
Excellent.
Okay, moving on.
In really old book news.
Ooh.
It's news archives, about really old books.
Archives.
Well, this just goes to prove that Audible will eventually publish audiobooks of everything. You just have to be extremely patient. Guilty Pleasures, which is the first book in the Anita Blake Vampire Hunter series.
Yes, an old favorite.
Is finally coming to Audible.
Oh, wow.
As an audiobook download.
It's about bloody time.
So if you've never experienced Laurel K. Hamilton,
or shame on you.
Or even if you have, but for whatever reason you want the audiobook experience like I like, it's finally available on Audible. So my hope is that they're going to maybe on a fairly regular basis release the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably want to wait to see how well Guilty Pleasures goes. But I mean, dude, even the comic book has come out already. The only thing that's left now is the major motion picture / television series based off of it, which almost happened but didn't happen.
I thought you were slow at moving your book, baby. Wow, well, that's pretty slow.
This just goes to show that obviously book publishing and audiobook publishing don't exactly go together.
I have a question for you.
Shoot.
Super fast.
Super fast.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
All right. Lilith's Love.
Yes.
We have a patio book.
Yeah,
when
that,
is the comic
took
book coming out?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I want the comic book.
That also shows you that it took about 15 years to get the audio book.
I know, but
of
I
that.
Want the comic book.
I don't know. If anybody out there is a comic book producer and you want to work with me to produce a comic book version of Lilith's Love, let me know. Contact me now.
Ding.
At 206-350-7638.
How long have I had that number and I have not memorized that at all? That's pretty bad.
That was straight from memory, too.
Woo! Okay.
Yes,
okay.
And it's correct, too.
Moving on.
All right, moving
it's
on.
Still working, too? Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no. People don't call us.
Shh.
Okay, go.
Comic books.
Woo! Okay, moving on. Oh, we're super fast.
The run of season 8 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer is about to come to an end.
Okay.
Don't worry, there's a season 9 in the works.
All right, good, okay. All right, moving on. Okay, that's awesome.
But
okay.
This is the comic book adaptation of what would have been, quote-unquote, season 8 if it had stayed on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Joss Whedon was involved with it. The final issue 40, will come out January 19th, 2011, to coincide with Buffy's 30th birthday. Somebody dies in issue 39, and I will not reveal who it is, but it was extremely sad. One of the main Scoobies, I'll just leave it at that, dies.
Boy or girl?
I'm not saying.
Tell me.
I'm not saying. Moving on! Video games.
Dude, that's not news.
Okay. Yeah, it is news.
Okay.
There's a new video game out that does Rocket old school. It's a text adventure game. Very similar, more similar to Choose Your Own Adventures than the old Infocom games. So the Infocom games were more you typed in your actions, you know, and you would carry on with the rest of the story and you're typing your. This is very much more multiple choice. You got these options.
Which one do you choose?
I
like those, yeah.
And then you get the next part of the story.
I always cheat and get to the end of the book. Okay.
Well, you can't do that when it's online, and that's the great thing about this. So there's a game called Choice of the Vampire, produced by Choice of Games, and I happened to just stumble upon this, and it's actually a very good story. I mean, I was playing it, I'm like, I like the text adventure games because it's very much an interactive fiction. I love the idea of it. I've loved text games forever.
Okay.
Made a text game for Tabs and everybody at Angel Between the Lines, and that's all really cool. I was playing this game, and the story is very good. It really keeps your interest. It's not trite. So without rambling, you get to become a vampire, but you get to pick what sex you're going to be and all that fun stuff.
Cool.
But it's historically set. The language is accurate. The setting is good. The story is fascinating. I kept playing it because I wanted to read more. Mm-hmm. You know, and I came to a certain point, and then I actually went back and started playing it again because I wanted to see how it changed. Mm-hmm. And even that secondary storyline that I had picked was interesting. So it's not just, it doesn't lead you to force you to pick a certain story or anything. You get lots of choices, and that's every awesome. One of them has really good story attached to it. So I highly recommend it. I've got a link to it in the show notes, but you can check it out.
What is it called again?
Choice of the Vampire.
Awesome.
They have other games as well. Mm-hmm. Like, there's one where you can be a dragon. There's one where you're fighting in a war. So kind of typical games. Mm-hmm. This one caught my eye because it was vampires, of mm-hmm. course. And it's a really, really good story. I highly recommend it.
Interesting.
It's at choiceofgames.com.
It's for free? Or
okay. So you can play all of their text games, which they've got like three or four, on their website. Mm-hmm. But if you have a mobile device, like a cell phone or a Kindle mm-hmm. or an iPad, right? Okay, they have app versions of it that you can play offline. Mm-hmm. So it's very much like an offline game that you can play. You don't have cool. to be connected to the internet. So for that, for the apps, I think it's like $2. And nice. I actually did download it for my Palm Pre okay. and played it. And it's exactly the same experience. It's just you don't have to be connected online to play it. Mm-hmm. So you can, it's like you can go online to the website and play it and try it, see if you like it. Mm-hmm. But if you want to have a version you can take with you, $2.
Which one did you choose? Did you choose the Battle of New Orleans?
Well, no, it's set in that setting. It's a question of what do you do with it. Mm, okay. Yes, but it's set during the Battle of New Orleans.
Okay, cool. All right. Yes.
So, there you go. And one more story. Mm-hmm. TV shows.
Okay.
I wanted to let everyone know, to remind everyone, that Being Human, the American version, premieres on Sci-Fi on January 17th. Mm-hmm. So, this is... Some people are calling it Season 3, and that is incorrect. Season 3 of the BBC production will probably come out later this year with that cast and that storyline mm-hmm. and everything. This is a brand new, considered a reboot, if you will, based in America with American actors mm-hmm. on American Sci-Fi channel. Okay. So, I think the characters have different names, but they... very similar in
appearance and everything, yeah.
I'll give it a shot to see if they go anywhere different with the stories.
They might move a little faster, rather how slow it was in the very beginning.
Anyway, so that's it for the news.
Boing.
Awesome. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the movie that we saw, which was the sequel to 30 Days of Night, called Dark Days.
I'm getting dizzy. We're going so fast.
That's a good thing.
Yes, bye. Hold on.
All right. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Andy.
And I'm Susie.
And you're listening to the Being Human cast.
What do you like about it?
I guess it's a middle ground between a Buffy-type vampire show and a True Blood-type vampire show. It's got all the... I think it's got the wit and the humour and the character interaction that I miss from Buffy not being on anymore.
12-inch mess of meats.
Oh, thank you.
Great. Keep the change.
So, how long have you been delivering pizzas?
A couple of months.
And could you ride a moped before, or did they teach you?
They taught us. We had to drive round and round a car park.
I bet you hate pizza. When you get home and your girlfriend's like, what do you want for tea? I bet you're like, not pizza!
Oh, you live with my dad.
Madness. See ya. He can see me.
He could so see you.
It's happening all the time now.
I think I like it mainly because it just looked like an all-around interesting show. Nothing like that was on TV, and it took everything that I liked and it smooshed it all together. It looked exciting, and I wasn't wrong. A woman's intuition, of course, is never wrong.
I'm just impressed that you could use the word smushed. We're going to put out a show monthly, and we're going to look at the episodes, look at the extras and the bits and pieces that the BBC provide on their wonderful website, and just generally chat about the show.
Great. I look forward to talking more with you on this, Andy.
Okay. Speak to you all soon. Bye.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we'll be here. We'll see you later. Okay. Bye.
All right. We are back. And we're going to talk about the movie that we just saw, which we wanted to get to before the year ended, but we just didn't get to it. And that's 30 Days of Night, Dark mm-hmm. Days.
Again.
the sequel to 30 Days of Night, which came out a couple years ago. Actually, I think it was like 2007. I mean, it was a while ago.
Yeah, it was.
It was like the first movie we reviewed at the beginning of this podcast.
Yep.
So, I'm actually going to let you go this time. What do you think of the movie?
It didn't suck that bad.
It didn't suck that bad. I love that.
It didn't suck that bad. The first movie, I will say, in comparing it to the first movie, it didn't exceed, nor did it flounder my expectations.
Oh, so the sequel did not either better or worse.
No, it just sucked just as bad.
Right. So let's recap. We hated the first movie.
I hated the first movie. And I just didn't... It didn't bomb. It carried a decent storyline.
Yeah.
It really did carry a decent storyline. The basic feel of it was is that the one woman survivor of the city in Alaska...
Uh-huh, Barrow.
Yes, that got attacked by the vampires. She now is trying to cope with her survivor's
husband
guilt.
Died.
Her
yeah.
survivor's
yeah, yeah,
guilt.
Yeah, exactly. Survivor's guilt.
And turns out that she's trying... She is a little crazy. That's what really held the movie up. She really was a little daft.
Yes.
She was in an auditorium talking about vampires, and she knew there were vampires there.
Mm-hmm.
So she rigged, what was it, UV?
Yeah, high-power UV lights.
UV lights, and turned them on, and that didn't go very well, because the sputtering and screaming, dying vampires...
scared the crap out of everybody else.
And everyone...
Flee!
And everyone panicked and had a stampede out the auditorium.
Yeah, but at least they saw it.
They could still deny it, because what they saw. But, right. However, that could have been planned a little better.
Well, yeah.
Not the best plan, but something a crazy person would do.
Absolutely. Well, she has nothing really to live for now except to tell people that vampires exist. Nobody believes her.
And try to kill them.
Right.
So basically, fast-forwarding it, what you have is you have these band of misfits that are vampire killers, vampire hunters.
They're pissed off at her for like going public with this. No one's going
to
believe
and
her.
And they need to use her because, you know, you survived it. You must know something.
Right.
A little more fast-forwarding. She's very meek. She's very small. You don't expect very much of her, but you put a gun in her hand and she just springs to life.
Right.
And
all of a sudden she's Rambo.
That is her function. She knows how to survive.
Yeah.
So it didn't disappoint me.
You forgot Lilith.
Yes. Your turn.
Well, no.
Go ahead.
They
actually introduced Lilith as the head queen vampire. And her main thing was to try to kill. So you have these band of vampire oddballs going into a nest or a hive of vampires. And they're going to try to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't go well. Okay, your turn, go.
Well, so I just wanted to say that one of the reasons why we didn't like the original was that it was very cinematic and beautiful and had an interesting story and a good angle with the whole 30 Days of Night in Alaska and the vampires come in.
It had merit.
It had so much potential, and then it just seemed to be a horror
fest.
Movie.
A blood fest.
It was just go in and spray blood on everything. And there was, after that, it was like, who cared?
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the surviving and the kind of bittersweet ending to that movie, which is how this one starts, with her and her husband watching the sunrise, because he got turned into a vampire at the very end, but he didn't want to stay that way, so they watch the sunrise together, and he ashes, right? So
we've seen that before.
Yes.
That's been done.
That doesn't make it bad. It just means...
It's not from...
No.
Okay.
It just means that, okay, that's romantic and sad and depressing. So we carry on straight from there, same scene. Now she's moving on, trying to fight all these, her demons as well as the vampires. And again, the story has a lot of merit, and I think that the Lilith character was necessary, and she is just a queen vampire, nothing more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really special about her, except for, of course, she's bloodthirsty, and seems to be organizing the vampires, which they kind of make it sound like is unique. Okay, obviously they were organized for Barrow, so she organized that. Mm-hmm. And that's the point. That's why the woman from Barrow is going after her, because she obviously orchestrated the Barrow assault. Mm-hmm. And she's planning to do it again.
It's personal revenge. That's all. It is. And it's a suicide mission. She knows she's going to get killed.
But she figures if she's going to die, she might as well take Lilith and her vampires with her. Mm-hmm. Well, so long story short, she kills her in, again, fairly anticlimactic fashion.
But in an awesome way. An awesome way, the way she kills her.
Well, yeah, the sneak attack was really cool. We won't spoil it, but the sneak attack she uses...
was awesome.
Was cool. So, again, yay. Yay for the good guys. And then the complete ending of this movie obviously sets up the third.
In a horrible, sucky way.
But talk about being fucking insane. What she does is absolutely nutty.
Yeah. They just, if you cut off this ending part we're about to botch to you and just crumpled up and threw into the wastebasket, you'd be very happy with the way the movie ended.
Well, no.
But they know.
And again, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's obviously stupid. No, it's obviously set up, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's a cliffhanger, if you will.
It's a horrible cliffhanger.
But if they had ended it before that, if they just ended it with her killing Lilith, the end, that's no payoff. So, what would you rate this movie?
I give it a 4.
I give it a 6. I mean, it was still...
together, it's a 10.
Almost. Yeah, it works out. Yeah. I mean, it was worth watching. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we didn't see it in the theaters, because I probably would have been more pissed off. But...
they killed my favorite character. Dale. Dane.
Yeah.
That was my... He was brilliant because he was inside, he was part of their mind. He if you took him out of that really crappy movie and gave him his own movie,
sure,
you'd have a story worth telling.
That would be awesome if they did that,
but they didn't. Yeah. And they killed him in a really petty way, like I killed my Sims,
right?
Wow. And for that I'm upset,
almost in a Joss Whedon-y kind of way.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like, we don't need you anymore. You're a leaf on the wind. Look through that peephole right there. So anyways, yeah. No, I agree. Mm-hmm. He was a really good character. He was the vampire, but he was only just turned a little bit, mm-hmm. so he still had some of his humanity. And the explanation they gave for it was quite good.
It was awesome.
So he was a really interesting character.
Yes, they threw him away. He had so much. And the lair was his.
Right.
All the letters to
whatever
her name was.
I forget her name because it's not important.
We don't even care that much about the main character. But everything was through letters and communication and everything. And then for her to come face to face and realize that he's a vampire.
Right.
Beautiful.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful.
That's why I say the story had merit. The characters were good.
That could have carried the whole... Okay, we're on a rant. Woo, woo. Okay, that's rant alert. Okay.
All right. You give it a 4, I give it a 6.
Yes, don't make me take another point off, because I will.
Right. I would say rent it. I wouldn't say buy it.
No.
I will say it looked
really... Borrow it. Don't even rent it. Borrow it.
It looked really good. It looked really good on our Blu-ray.
Watch it for Dane.
Okay.
Watch it for Dane. Don't watch it for the main character. Don't watch it for the other whiny little brats. Watch it for Dane, and as soon as he gets shot in the head, turn it off.
Okay, cool.
We agree on this.
All right.
Oh, that's cute. Okay, awesome. Moving on.
All right, so the next movie in our queue.
Oh, another batch of tragedy. Here we go.
Yes, we're going back to our queue now. We have caught up on all of our new movies.
Okay.
So we're going back to our queue.
Our bag of bitches.
Yes, and we're going to be watching next the live-action version of Blood the Last Vampire. Mm. We watched the animation.
That wasn't so bad. Yeah. I liked the animation one.
The animation was good.
That was good.
It told a good story. It was just a little weird. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying the live-action is going to be less weird, but it'll be real people and real blood. So there you go.
Okay, that's all right.
So that's our plan.
That wasn't that bad. Okay.
Right. So we're going to go ahead and take a break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about the awards.
Okay.
So we'll be right back after this.
Hello, my name is Mike Bennett, and I'd just like to ask you, when was the last time you had a really enjoyable scare? One that made you scream and laugh at the same time? Which I suppose would sound something like this. You've never done that? Well, I suggest you trek over to MikeBennettPodcast.com and download one of my podcasts. One Among the Sleepless, Hall of Mirrors, Tales of Horror and the Grotesque, Mike Bennett Sometimes, or the current ongoing vampire thriller Underwood and Flinch. I can't guarantee you'll do this. But then, perhaps that's just as well.
MikeBennettPodcast.com.
We're back.
What was our topic?
We're going to talk about the Dr. John William Polidori Awards for Excellence in Vampire Entertainment.
Woohoo! Say that three times naked. What?
Let's not end say we didn't.
Okay.
All right. So, last year, about this time, we came up with this idea for us having our own awards show.
And we were sober.
Yeah. But we said what we should do is not just throw one together hastily, like, at the spur of the moment.
Like we do.
We wanted to start at the beginning of 2010
mm-hmm.
and sort of keep track during the year.
Did you really?
Yes.
Wow.
Of all the awesome vampire stuff that happened in all forms of media and entertainment. And then in 2011, at the beginning of the year, we'd go back and have people vote
mm-hmm.
on different categories.
Uh-huh.
And we'll give non-existent awards to people.
Yay, non-existent awards are so much less expensive than real ones.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
So, I've got lots of different categories. I'll go through them briefly. Right. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, but I'm sure Michelle has little observations. So, first is Best Vampire Novel of 2010.
Woohoo!
Then the next one is Best of Dracula in 2010.
All things Dracula.
Yeah, all things Dracula. So if it was specific to Dracula, no matter what it was, it's in the list. Okay? Then Best Vampire Fiction Mashup of 2010. This is everything that took fictional characters and made spin-off stories of them.
So like Mina from Dracula or something like that?
But actually, as it happens, in that category, none of them are Dracula mashups.
Interesting.
I put those all in their own category with the Dracula.
Because so
I figured those technically are all Dracula. Fiction mashups, but with Dracula. So they've got their own category.
Wow.
This is things like Romeo and Juliet and vampires.
Awesome.
And Withering Bites. Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of all the other fiction stories adding vampires to the mix. So then I have Best Vampire Historical Mashup of 2010. This is things like Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. The next category is Best Young Adult Novel of 2010.
You don't even have to go any further in describing that?
Nope. Best Children's Book of 2010. There is a distinction, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Young Adult is sort of the kitschy teenage romance,
Twilight stuff. Mm-hmm.
Vampire Diaries, that kind of thing. Whereas Children's Book are things like Vampirates, which is a really cool story, but it is geared for younger children. It's not young adult. And there's also books in here like Dick and Jane and Vampires, which was really kind of cute. I flipped through it.
I saw that. Yes, I saw that with you.
So those are kid-oriented books with vampires. Then we have Best Comic Book Series with Vampires in 2010, and there's a lot of those. I wanted to see if I could break that apart, but I decided I couldn't. So there's lots of them in there. We'll get to choose from all those. But I did distinguish manga from the comic books.
Okay, cool.
So that's a separate section.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then we have Best Nonfiction Vampire Book. This is things like A Taste of True Blood. That's a collection of essays all mm-hmm. about True Blood, the TV show, which Philippa Ballantyne had a short story in about Sam. So that's one of the options in there.
Mm-hmm.
So books like that. Then we've got Best Vampire Television Series of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes anything that might have started before 2010, but as long as there was a season in 2010,
still running. Mm-hmm.
It was in the list. Best theatrical release of a vampire film. That's anything that you saw in theaters, as opposed to the next category, which is best independent or direct-to-video vampire film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm shocked as actually how many of those there were.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we only talked about a couple of them on the show, like 30 Days a Night and Suck and Lost Boys of Thirst, but there's like almost 10 of them in the list.
Wow.
So
shame on us.
And then I still separated that from Best Vampire Animated Film mm-hmm. or Series in 2010. So that's mostly anime, but also Buffy the Vampire Slayer's Season 8 Motion Comic is mm-hmm. in that category. Then I also created the Best Vampire Stage Production of 2010. There's only a couple of here. I do want to mention all these categories. There are write-in votes. If for some reason I forgot something or didn't know, because, I mean, shit, there's lots of stuff out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you guys know of something that happened in 2010, you want to write it in, be my guest. Then there's Best Vampire Podcast of mm-hmm. 2010. This is not just podcasts like ours, which talk about vampires, but anything that might have been a patio book that had episodes in 2010,
mm-hmm.
or fan fiction stuff like Angel Between the Lines, if it had episodes in 2010, they all fit into this category. If it had vampires in it, they talked about vampires.
Okay.
For example, Horror Addicts is in this mm-hmm. category. It's not a vampire podcast, but they've talked about vampires at least once in 2010. Okay. So it counts. Moving on. The next one is Best Vampire Web Video or Series of 2010, which there were quite a few of. Best Vampire Video Game of 2010. This one was an interesting category. Best Vampsploitation Episode of 2010. This is any normal television series that has nothing to do with vampires
mm-hmm.
threw in an episode because vampires are hot. Had something to do with vampires for at least one episode.
Mm-hmm.
So something that might stand out as obvious is Supernatural, but there were episodes of like Castle and CSI and even Doctor Who
mm-hmm.
that had an episode that dealt
vampire
with vampires.
Vampire Fish. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Vampire Fish, exactly. So that's just sort of like all of a sudden, boom, vampires
mm-hmm.
impacted the show.
You know what would be an awesome one to add next year?
We could add it this year if you have enough.
Vampire commercials. Pistachios.
Pistachios was the only one.
There was two.
What was the other one?
I don't remember what the other one was.
You helped me figure out what other vampire commercials there were. Mm-hmm. I'll be happy to put them in.
Because there were two.
Because, yes, I do remember the pistachios.
Just type in, you know. Vampire commercials.
Yeah, we'll have to. I'll do the research.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Best song featured on the Out of the Coffin podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do best band or best song or anything like that, but I had to definitely pare that down
because mm-hmm.
there's so many out there. So I just picked songs that we featured, as we do every episode mm-hmm. of our show, like, say, Vampire Surprise by Veronique Chevalier.
There you know.
That was a really great song.
Mm-hmm.
Garlic with a G. So I wanted to make sure that all of those awesome songs were listed. The next categories are all actors and actresses, either from television or from films.
Mm-hmm.
I won't list every one of them, but that's essentially what those categories are. But it must be noted that out of all of these actors and actresses, they had to play a vampire
mm-hmm.
in their TV show or movie.
Mm-hmm.
So each one of those has its own category, as well as supporting actors and actresses, although that I lumped film and television into one.
Mm-hmm.
But all the others are best actor from a TV series or from a film. They're split up, and so there's a lot to choose from in there. Most improved vampire franchise of 2010. Yes. So, I mean, the ones we've talked about are Lost Boys, The Thirst, which was the third movie of the series, Eclipse, Twilight Saga, that was the third movie of that series, and 30 Days of Night, Dark Days, which mm-hmm. is the second of that series. So which franchise has improved over time? because quite frankly, in our opinion, all three of them kind of sucked. The next one is Best Adaptation of a Vampire Book in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not only True Blood and The Vampire Diaries, but you've got Let Me In, which was a novel, and Eclipse, of course, and 30 Days of Night, Dark Days, which was a comic book. What is probably our favorite category of all is Best What the Fuck Moment.
That was brilliant. I'm so glad that you did finally put that in.
We also call that the TiVo rewind moment.
Mm-hmm.
When you're watching something, you're like, what the fuck was that? And then you hit the rewind button so you can go back and watch that again. Okay, so then the last couple of categories are Best Vampire Soundtrack of 2010, which is really the soundtracks from any of the previously mentioned movies and TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the last category, Best Author Interview on Out of the Coffin.
Yay!
I actually interviewed 4 people.
That's awesome.
And they were all awesome. So that this gives those 4 authors, Emery and Rich, Gail Carriger, P.G. Holyfield, and Philippa Ballantyne, an opportunity to win an award themselves just for being awesome enough to be on the podcast and talk to me while I rambled and gushed my fanboyness upon them.
They should get an award just for being on the podcast.
They should. Yes. So.
Awesome.
Now, besides all of those categories, all of those are up on a link on the podcast page. It's called Polidori Awards, right there up at the top. Please be patient. There's a lot of categories, obviously. But all of them are self-contained little bubbles for each category. You can pick as many options in each category as you want. Know that you can pick more than one. But once you click the vote for that category, it's set. You can't change your vote. And you can't come back and vote later again for that or for anybody else. So,
and you can also leave a blank, too. Which,
yes, you
which
can.
Which I enjoyed. I enjoyed that part.
Yes, you can skip a category if you want to. You can also write in a vote for any of the categories. But again, one write-in vote. That's the only one you get. So if you feel that I missed somebody somewhere, you can add them in a write-in. Every one of the categories has its own vote, so please make sure that if you want to vote, you have to click the big yellow button for each one of them. Don't forget that. Okay? So, I don't know. There must be like 20 different categories. Vote for as many of them as you like. I hope that you do, because these are what are going to be considered the semi-finalists. These are basically going to make up the final category, which will be a single vote per after this. Now, I'm hoping to set a deadline of the end of January for this. So if you want to vote to help set up what will be the finalists, vote as soon as possible, knowing that midnight January 31st, that's going to be the end of this vote. Then I will go find the top 5 out of every category and put them in a new vote. We'll do this again in February, but you'll only be able to choose one. And whoever wins out of those votes by all of us, People's Choice, as well as Michelle and I.
And we only vote once as well.
Yes.
Got one shot at this, too, so just let you know.
Yes. We might act as tiebreakers if come the finals.
It'll be the SmackDown episode.
Then we'll agonize over it and make our decision. But that's my plan. I want this to be People's Choice. I want you all to vote. I hope that you do. Because this is really all about all of us. Let's all honor this awesome genre that we love so very, very much.
Yay! Yeah.
On top of all of those categories that everyone gets to vote for, I've got 2 awards, very special awards, that I'm giving out. They're the Dr. Polidori Vampire Excellence Award and the New Media Excellence Award.
Okay.
I'm not telling you who's in the running for these. Just know that as of right now, I've already made my choice, and they will be announced like in March when we have the actual award show. So there you go. That's what we're planning. I hope you all enjoy it. I hope you all vote. And we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Play a song called The Vampire in Me by Nothingalistic.
Nothingalistic?
Nothingalistic. Kind of like nihilistic, but he just went ahead and spelled it all out. Nothingalistic. Which is courtesy of the Mevio Music Alley PodSafe Music Network.
Ding!
Yes. So I hope you enjoy it. It's a pretty cool song. And we're going to try to do these a little more often. I'd like to say twice a month, but schedules are still kind of funny around
we'll
here.
We'll be fine.
Michelle's got foot issues.
I'm not doing anything now.
Right.
It's not like I'm out walking around and like jogging.
Right, but it's going to be kind of interesting. The video streaming thing, we're still definitely going to do it. I think we're going to wait until we move. And we're planning to move in May. Well, if you want to do it earlier than that, that's fine.
When our
we've got to clean our apartment.
See, this is clean. This is clean.
So we need a
comparatively.
Set.
Comparatively.
As soon as we get a set done,
right.
We will video stream this. And
why don't we? May I make a suggestion?
Absolutely.
And I know you were going to. I know you said this, and right. I think we should do this. We should write in front of where our vampire books right. are and everything.
So again, we need to clean that up.
It already did.
No, it's not.
We already did.
No, it's not.
We already did.
Trust me.
What?
Plus, because, we still have to get the setup done to be able to video stream and record at the same time. And
well, granted, you haven't set the books in a funny way on the bookshelf to make, like, open a gate and have books start moving again.
While we podcast.
You would do that.
Yes.
You would.
Yeah. So anyways, we ramble again. Be good. Take care. Good night.
Good hunting. I'm
That wraps up another episode of the Out of the Coffin podcast. Thanks for listening. This blog and podcast are copyright by Dan Charette and are released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike license, some rights reserved. If you have any comments about this podcast, feel free to drop a note at outofthecoffin.com/contact. Or, if you'd rather leave some voicemail, you can call us at 206-350-7638.